and we have been friends for a long time. I first met him in Georgia at one of those golf country club restaurants being served. We were down there for an evangelism conference, and Jimmy and some buddies got up and did some hot 70s tunes with Christian lyrics. And the one that is most memorable for me is, instead of Johnny Be Good, which is a 60s song actually, they did Jonah, the story of Jonah. And, it kind of ends with, if you don't want to end up like Jonah, do what God tells you to do. And it was a lot of fun. And then I was super excited when a few years later, he was brought on board with the Alaska Baptist Convention to do our evangelism director. He wears more hats than evangelism director now, but that's not what's important. The reason that we invited him here today is because you and I have been praying for him for over a year. It was in the end of July of last year when the fire happened and he got burned. And isn't God good? I mean, not that he's here today, but I just happened to be down in Vancouver when this took place, and was able to drive up and spend some time with Catherine. I took Jimmy had no clue I was there, but it just, God is so good, and it's so important to remember that our Father is a real Father. Amen. He is not an absent Father. He is ever present. And we get to experience his love and his devotion to us on a regular basis as we open the eyes of our heart and we get to see him moving and working around us. So in the time where I would normally speak, I have, without any reservation at all, surrendered that to him to share the testimony of what God has done through the sufferings. And it is amazing what God can do.
Good morning. It's really good to be here with you this morning. In fact, after this last year, it is good to be any place. I want to start off this morning with a prayer, because I know a lot of you have come to hear my testimony, but I don't know what God is doing in your life. And I don't know where you are in life and in its circumstances. So let's pray. Father, I know your restoring power. I know the power of prayers that come from thousands of people and what it means to be the recipient of those prayers. I know the power of prayers for safety in my surgeries, for healing of tissues, for healing of my wounds. And I know your presence in the midst of darkness. Father, I know there may be people in this room looking for answers in the midst of their darkness. And my hope is that you will bring to them peace in despair, that you will bring to them hope. And I pray this in Jesus' name, our precious Lord and Savior. Amen. Couple of verses that I'm going to read to you, and I want you, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. A lot of you may be able to even say this because you know this so well, and I want us to look at that today, but I do want to throw a couple other verses out there that rang in my mind. These are verses that, as a young Christian, that were so important to me. But these, especially now since last year, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I knew I could do all things, and I've done all things. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. God, in all things, works for our good. Here's something I want you to consider. It doesn't matter what happens in life. It matters what we allow God to do with our situation. It doesn't matter what happens to us and what happens in our life. But what we allow God to do with it can be amazing. Here's another thing to consider that I said the other night. If we love Jesus in the good times, we must love Him in the bad times. He's the same God who loves us. Just because our circumstances change doesn't mean that He loves us any less. I pray that my journey will encourage you, especially if you're walking through a valley. Read with me, if you would, Psalm 23. Just read it silently along with me, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, love, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever! Say that with me. Forever! We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, what a psalm in the midst of David's trials, in the midst of his struggles. I'm going to tell you right now, I stand before you as a man who knows the God of power, the presence of God, and I know His provision in my life. And I see that in this timeless passage. And I want you to know this, I trusted Him before this accident, and I trust Him even greater now. God did not cause my accident. God doesn't cause accidents that leave people changed forever. But God will use my accident for His glory, and I know that He has. It has been amazing to watch what God has done. God is still in the miracle business. Amen? And steps have been laid before me that God would use to save my life. Miracles are when events and life and circumstances come together in God's timing for His purpose. All of these came together like clockwork surrounding my accident. And let me back up in time before the event. And prior to my accident, I felt like the most blessed man in the world. I'm telling you, folks, last year, the 16th, July 15th and 16th, I was feeling so blessed. It was an amazing time in my life. First of all, I have the greatest wife. Come on, women. Amen?
Amen?
I have the greatest wife. We were celebrating our 30th anniversary a little bit early. We were down in L.A., and we were at a trip for her work as a personal trainer, and it's a fitness conference, and our children were going to join us that next week coming back to Alaska. And so I felt so blessed. I got to work out with people like Tony Horton in a two-hour workout session. I was in some of the greatest health and greatest shape of my life. It was fantastic. And we were having a wonderful time. Now, a lot of you, like Alaskans, know that children grow up in our households, and then sometimes they move away. Come on.
Sometimes they come back.
And then sometimes they come back. Sometimes they don't move away. I got one of those. But anyway. We are about to have him move away. Praise God. But two of ours had moved away, gone to college. One had gotten married. The other, unbeknownst to her, her boyfriend, had already called us and asked for her hand in marriage. And I was having that set of four plus my son that lived with us still and his girlfriend. We were all gathering for a family vacation. 2 weeks to be with my children. You know what it's like now? I got to ask you this. Is this a strange expression to you? I told my therapist the other day, I just couldn't wait to get my arms around my son and hug his neck. And I just wanted to touch him. I just wanted to feel him. I just wanted to smell him. I just couldn't wait. And I thought she would be like, oh yeah, that is so cool. That's cool. She looked at me. She goes, hug his neck? Was there something wrong with his neck? I went, no, that's a Southern expression, I guess. I don't know. But just hug him, you know, I'd hug his neck. Anyway, it was so wonderful to have them all together. And also, my job, as Doug explained, I work with the Alaska Baptist Convention. I get to work with pastors like Doug all over this state. Oh, my. No. Oh, great. I love it. I get to go and be with guys like this all over the state, fellowshipping with them and encouraging them. They encourage me, and it's an incredible job that I get to do. July 23rd last year rolled in, and it brought change to my world that was not expected, and I can promise you it was not wanted. I can promise you right now, I don't want to be standing up here telling you this story. I'd rather be preaching like I have done several times before at your congregation, but not telling you this story. And it's a story that's not just about me, it's a family story. They witnessed things, they went through things that I didn't even know about because I was in ICU in a semi-coma. And I'm going to tell you a couple of things tonight that I heard from them and how they related it to me. But let me also tell you, it's a story of the family of God. As Doug said, Doug, when did you find out about this?
The day after.
How did you find out?
It was somebody posted something on Facebook.
Okay.
And I got a hold of Catherine.
The day after. This was posted on Facebook. It was sent around the world, and literally thousands were starting to pray for me. I was the recipient of the body of Christ praying for me. Folks, I've been all over the country since this accident, and people would walk up to me and say, I'm so glad to see the miracle, the object of my prayers. And it has been a miracle. But it all started out with a family vacation at our small little cabin up near Talkeetna. And it was a wonderful setting, wonderful being there with my family. Now, my family was there, my son and his wife. We brought up another couple that we were real good friends with, and they had a couple of children, and then the rest of the family was there. Well, on Saturday night, my daughter had to go back to Anchorage. So my wife and my daughter, future son-in-law, and my oldest son all went back to Anchorage, and that left us there to play around. And we'd been kind of talking about a funny smell. We thought it was just kind of wet boots, and they'd been in and out of the cabin doing some four-wheeling and stuff like that. But the lights, which were propane lights, because we had plumbed the cabin with propane lights, and we also had a propane stove, but we went out to a little propane tank outside, those lights started flickering. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you don't know what you're doing, ask someone. Amen? And I wish I would have asked someone instead of pursuing. But my wife says, you know, you're a hero. You're my hero, because if you had not have gone down into the crawl space and looked for this, it could have been a bigger disaster later that night. We had a leak in the propane lines. The coupling failed, and that propane tank, and thank goodness it was a small one, just a, you know, one that you use for your grills and things like that, it just filled this entire crawl space. Now understand, it's not like a crawl space where I'm going like this, okay, and trying to get to something and just under the house and it's all open. It was a poured crawl space on a 18-inch footer, 4 foot high, and that meant for me, I could walk underneath there. Now Ben would be bent over double. Amen, Ben? In fact, I don't even know if he could get down in the hole to get down there, okay? But I got down there, and I'm just walking around, having a good time, trying to figure out what's going on. And I did not know, but I was literally, someone told me later who works in propane, that I was literally just swimming in propane. It expands, you know, when propane hits the air, it expands so much. I got to the place where the leak was, and that's when the explosion occurred. I was, as one buddy of mine recently said, I was in the barrel of the gun when it went off, because the explosion originated at one side of the cabin and it ripped through the entire cabin. He said, because he'd gone to help look and put the cabin back together, he said the Visqueen on the floor as a vapor barrier had been absolutely just... vaporized. Thank you, Doug. He said it was vaporized. And there was nothing left there, but he could see my footprints where I was standing. And then he could see where I landed when it blew me back. And another 12 feet back, they found my glasses. Not these, but they found my glasses up against the back wall. And he recently, just in the last 4 weeks, gave me those glasses back. The percussion and the blast of this ripped through the cabin. They were right above that family of four and my wife, my son and his wife were right above me. It went through the crawl space and all the blast went up there. It singed everything underneath the crawl space and then it blew out of the crawl space and it burned every bit of insulation that we had up above. Now these are... My cabin, the first floor, is made of 8-inch D-logs. Anybody know what those are? They're three-sided cut, and they're rounded on one side, and you stack them like that. Anyway, they're heavy logs, and they are drilled together with big 13-inch spikes. And the back wall peeled out like this, blew the window out, blew the front windows out of the cabin. And the fireman said that if we had not opened up the upstairs window, the cabin probably would have imploded on itself. The screens upstairs blew out 35 feet into the yard. I got up off the ground, and I realized that my shirt had vaporized also. And it just basically burned into me. I heard later that the doctors were saying, what's all this blue stuff in his skin? They were picking out all this blue stuff and Visqueen and all that. And I looked at myself and I realized I was burned up. All I had left was my collar on my shirt. My pants were just ripped and shredded and burned. And I got up and I remembered this about February, March, that I remember thinking to myself, first thought was, I have ruined our vacation. And I thought, oh no, how could I have done that? And I ran to the crawl space, so my second thought was simply this. And I yelled out, is anybody hurt? Is anybody hurt? Everybody okay? And I heard my son running through the cabin. He ran, Dad, where are you? And he ran and he found me and he helped me get up out of the crawl space. And he was just looking at me, and he walked me outside to the front door, and I walked out, and I just kind of plopped off the front porch, and I was standing there with the other couple and their children, and they were all just looking at me. And the girl says, "Mr. Stewart, Mr. Jimmy, you need to come over here and sit down." I didn't realize what kind of shock I was in, and I did not realize how bad it was. All my skin was white because it had been burned off, and all the nerve endings were just burned. Miracles were happening, and the very fact that nobody else got hurt but me, myself. God protected everybody else. Not a soul got hurt. I praise God for that. I gladly take the wounds. I gladly bear these for my children and for my friends, because goodness gracious, I couldn't live with myself if somebody else got hurt. Another miracle happened. We have a pretty remote cabin, and they called 911, and they instantly got a connection, a very secure connection. And they talked to the people at 911, and they called the EMTs in the area and the fire department to come. Now, another miracle was the fact that the fire just blew itself out. It took all the oxygen out of that chamber, and it was out. It just singed everything, burned me up, a lot of heat. But that was it. So the cabin was not on fire, thank goodness. It just got pretty singed underneath there. Electrical wires that we had strung to wire up the house electrically, all the wires were just, all the plastic was burned off of them, and just little wires hanging there. They got a hold of the EMTs, and in Talkeetna, which is a very large area, people that live there will tell you, oh, it's a 30 to 50 minute wait for them to come. I could have died in that amount of time. Gone into shock and just absolutely, well, I was in shock, but could have just absolutely died. The EMTs showed up in 10 minutes. Just to pray, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then they called us back to find out where the cabin was. And they asked us, they said, well, we're out here at the Parks Highway. Can you drive out? And it was only a couple of miles out, but we went, my son and I was able to get up in a truck, and he drove me out. And I remember saying this as I'm going out, son, this is going to be bad. This is hurting. And I said, my eyes are getting dark also. And up to that point, I really hadn't felt anything. And I got to the ambulance, and it started hurting then. And I got to the ambulance, and the ambulance attendant introduced himself. We talked just a little bit. And he said, Mr. Stewart, we're going to put you out. And I said, amen, put me to sleep. I don't want to experience this. Put me out. God started touching people's life that very moment. I don't know, Doug, if it was just the minister in me or what it was, but I looked at the attendants, looked at my son. I said, well, before you put me out, would you let me pray? I didn't know why I said that, but I just started praying for the ambulance guys. Lord, use these guys. Help them to help me at this critical moment. Lord, just bless their lives and thank you for their families. And I just prayed for them, and I prayed for my son. And then he said, sir, we got to put you out. You got to lay down. And I did. God touched people at that very moment. Miracles started happening in people's lives just by that little gesture. We got a letter from the ambulance, EMT, 3 weeks later. And he said, in all my experience as an EMT, no one has ever responded in a crisis like you did. No one's ever prayed for me. And it shook me to the core of my being. Praise God. Amen. Miracles are when God brings all these events, life circumstances together, and He was bringing miracle after miracle. So this is what resulted. The EMTs put me into the ambulance, and my wounds, I found out later, were too severe for the hospital in Anchorage to be able to take care of me. They determined, they put me in an ambulance, drove me down to Willow, put me on a helicopter. Somewhere en route, they determined that I was pretty burned up and had no idea how burned up I was. And but somehow, they determined that they needed to send me down to Seattle. Let me tell you a couple of things. God knew my need as thousands were beginning to pray for me. God also expedited my journey down to the best burn unit in the nation. I literally got down there. This happened at 10 o'clock at night, and I was at Harborview Medical Center by 4:30 in the morning. Praise God. And they started working on me. And like I said, God was in control. He heard the prayers of tens of thousands. And someone said that there possibly, as the weeks went on, possibly hundreds of thousands were praying for me. Here's an amazing thing that happened and how God started touching people's lives. We got over 900 cards and letters. Can you imagine that? In fact, the CEO of Harborview wanted to meet us. He could not figure out who these people were getting all these letters. And we got to tell him that they were cards and letters and scriptures that people were sending us and prayers that people were sending us, and they represented hundreds of thousands of people. We got to proclaim the glory of God to the CEO of Harborview. And it reminded me of that verse in Matthew 10. He says, on my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Well, my wife got down there that next morning, and they were trying to prepare her and my oldest son what they would see when they saw me in ICU. They met her, and they walked her around the long way to get to my room, and they started telling her that this was a life-threatening injury. My wife told me later, she said, oh, I brought enough clothes. In fact, I brought workout stuff, I brought videos, I brought books I was going to read. I figured we'd be down there a couple of weeks and then we'd come home, it'd be okay. And they were like, no, you need to understand. And they walked her very slowly to the room, trying to prepare her for what she would see. They said they would only take it day by day, and the first 48 hours were critical if I was even going to survive that. It was so severe, she called my middle son, Stephen, immediately and told him and his wife to get on a plane to see his daddy while he was still alive. The mortality rate for a man my age and the extent of my burns was most likely a death sentence. I was burned 77% of my body, third-degree burns, and mostly third-degree burns. And the doctors told, I saw this text that was sent out from one of the guys there to everybody. And it said that the doctor said that my heart and my organs internally would be put under the same amount of stress as if you were to take a car and run it 100 miles an hour, 24 hours a day for 6 weeks. And the doctors were looking at this 58-year-old man going, there's no way he's going to survive. He's old. He's an old man. They said infections were a major concern, that most people get infections and die from those. Many people with much lesser degree of burns, I found out later, have died from infections. So many prayed that God would save my life. This started my 4th month stay at Harborview. It was the beginning of what God, the healer, was working and doing in my life through 14 surgeries to save my life. The first thing they did so that my body would breathe, they cut me up on the sides, across the chest, all up and down my arms, just to release the skin and open it up so my body would not just contract my lungs and I would be able to breathe. And those are the scars of the day that hurt the worst. But they put me on a breathing machine. I was in a semi-coma. I was out for 2 months and did not know where I was. I had all sorts of weird dreams, and if I had time, I'd tell you about all those, but I want to tell you some other things here. And as Time wore on, though. The amazing thing happened. My body was healing. My body was responding. They first put on cadaver and pig and what'd you say?
Cow.
They put on like cow skin and pig skin and things like that immediately to save my life, to put over the burns so that one of the things I heard is that you can actually dehydrate so bad that you can die, but if you don't have your skin being able to cover it. And I just saw another one that in Australia, they're using fish skin now to cover people. Anyway, I'm not going to grow any gills anytime soon, but but let me just tell you, what brings healing? First and foremost, God is still in the miracle business, and He's healing today. Your prayers were being answered before everyone's eyes, especially before the eyes of the doctors. Many of the doctors said nothing about God, but as time passed on and surgeries passed by, the doctors began to audibly recognize that there's something about these answered prayers, and they started pointing their fingers up in the air and going, there is something going on here. There were moments that the doctors gave some pretty grave expectations about the outcomes. Like one time they told my family they were going to cut off all my fingers, that my fingers had no circulation in them. They were all black, and they just thought they're going to have to cut them down to the knuckle down here at the hand. And I remember when, I didn't remember it, my wife told me about how they came in and they said it to her three times. Now you got to understand, my wife is a woman of God. She believed in God. She believed in what God was doing in my life. And she was my advocate, praying for me and just reading scriptures over me. And the doctor said, we're going to probably have to cut his fingers off. She goes, okay. No. You need to understand, we're going to cut his fingers off. Okay. Three times. And the doctors left. They figured out she must have gotten it. And she looked at my son and said, Stephen, how are we going to tell Dad? And some of you know I love playing guitar, love playing bass, piano. But how are we going to tell Dad he's not going to have fingers? My son Stephen looked at her and said, Mom, we're not going to have to tell him. God's been answering prayers up to now, and He's not going to stop. Amen? The doctors came back after the surgeries and said, guess what? We didn't have to cut off his fingers. They shortened a couple of them. And some of them aren't working as well now, but that's another damage that I sustained. God was incredibly good. One of the things I want to go back to in Psalms 23, and I want us to look at, a lot of people in situations start asking, why? Why did this happen? Why did God do this to me? Why am I like this? What's going to happen to me? Well, why is not a good question. Because many times in our world, things happen that are accidents. I believe God grieves just like you and I grieve. Is God powerful? Does He act? My story is an amazing miracle considering the amount of burns that I had. Recently, one of the doctors said to us as we went back and visited, he goes, oh, Jimmy, it's so good to see you. And he was looking at me up and down and seeing how I was moving. And he goes, you know, we learned a lot from you. I said, what do you mean you learned a lot from me? He goes, well, we never had anybody burned as bad as you and survived. I didn't want that honor. I didn't want to win that prize. Amen. Woo! Goodness. But anyway, I praise God. It's a miracle. Doctor after doctor that we visited up in Anchorage, they would look at me and they'd look at my chart and they'd look at me and they'd look at my chart and they go, you're a miracle. Yes. Praise God. I am a miracle. I'm a walking miracle. But it may not happen in your circumstance, and I cannot tell you why. Why did he do it in my life? I don't know, folks. I'm here, and I praise God that I get to spend time with my family, even now, even more. And God will use this to glorify Himself. Now, I'm going to have a new normal in life. I'm not going to be the same. One burn victim who visited me one time. And let me tell you, I can stand before you today, and it may seem like, oh, wow, he's just so happy about it. There are days I grieve. There were days that I grieved the loss of using my fingers and my arm because I experienced nerve damage through the fire. There's days that I grieve going to the therapist and they're trying to stretch my skin and they're trying to get my fingers to move and it's still very, very painful. But this is what God has done. Look back at Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about that. The psalmist David, he's writing about his desire. He definitely had wants in his life. But when he realized the Lord is his shepherd, he didn't want anymore. He says the Lord makes him, his shepherd, makes this sheep to lie down in green pastures where everything is taken care of. That's all that sheep needs is that green, fertile pasture. He leads them beside still waters. Sheep do not like running, fast, turbulent waters. But they also don't like a mud pit. They want something flowing smooth. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We as sheep, as Christians, I'm telling you, I'm one of you, okay? Have you ever done something dumb and you think, why did I do that? God, I know that didn't please God. I know if I didn't please my wife or something, but I did it. Sometimes we as sheep need to be led in this path of righteousness, and God will use it for His glory. Let me tell you, He restored my soul through the process of this journey that I've been on. It has been amazing to see what God has done. And He's done that through the power of prayer. He's done it through the countless amount of people who come to me and prayed. And it's just been amazing. People would come and visit. Doug, how many times did you come? Three times? Three times? I had people come. My wife had to give me a list of people who came those first 2 months. My brother came, my best friend from high school and college came, and I don't remember any of that. They just had me so drugged up so that I wouldn't remember the pain. One of my good buddies in Anchorage told me, he said, yeah, I was there at the end of August and sat outside the room when you're going through wound care. Wound care every day was when they take your wounds and they take any kinds of scabbing over of that wound. They don't want that on there because it harbors bacteria. And they have to clean those wounds every day. And I asked my wife one time, I said, did I handle that well? Because I didn't remember it. She goes, Jimmy, you did. She goes, when it would get really bad, you start singing. And you start just kind of, whoa, whoa, and it would just get louder and louder. But my good friend, he said he sat out there because they wouldn't let him in the room and ICU while they were doing that. He said, Jimmy, I just hurt so bad for you because I could hear you in there experiencing that pain. Now, I don't remember any of it, okay? So don't feel sorry for me, okay? I really don't remember any of that. And thank the Lord I don't. And thank you, Lord, for that medicine. God used all of that to heal me. And they used the doctors to heal me. And I did not get infections, and I did not have problems. God's presence was there. As it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It was only a shadow of death. It was a valley. Some of you may be walking through a valley of your life right now, but it's only a shadow of the death. It's only a shadow. I will fear no evil, no harm coming to me, for thou art with me. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod's for correction. The staff is for comfort. And God was using it in my life. That was His presence walking with me during this time. But He also brought the presence of many people that came and walked alongside of us. And then it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What an incredible illustration that David was using. This was not just, you know, something you prepare a table, but it was in the presence of his enemies, the protection that God had on his life, that he was able to eat, he was able to enjoy. And he says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. This was not just a simple meal. This was an overflowing, abundant meal. He says, surely in goodness, love will follow me all the days of my life. A person of that day always wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord because the house of the Lord was where the presence of God was. God also provided in incredible ways as people came alongside and they blessed us with so many things. Let me kind of sum up what God did. I was in ICU for 2 months. And then they took me down from the 9th floor to what they called acute care. And it's where you're no longer in ICU, you're off breathing tubes, you're off feeding tubes, and you're able to survive on your own. I was still going through daily wound care, but they took me down there and they took me off the drugs that were keeping me suppressed in my understanding of what was going on. And I started beginning to really understand things. And which was kind of a mixed bag because I wanted to be able to understand things, but I began to understand I was going to wound care every day. And that was no fun. And take me and sit me on a table and just wash me off all those wounds and scrub them off. No fun at all. And it's amazing how God sustained me during those times. Do you know how many people, though, those nurses, anybody here a nurse or a doctor? Anybody here? Okay, I want you to know something. I love you. I love you. My goodness, those nurses cared for me like I was their own child. And they took care of me and helped me through dark days. Not only that, I was pretty much an invalid in my being at that point. I couldn't get out of bed. My arms had developed what was called heterotrophic ossification, as where bone grows into your joints, and my elbows were stuck out like this. And literally, you know, if your elbows are stuck out like this, I mean, I could only move them like that. That was it. I couldn't feed myself. I'd say, well, honey, would you scratch my nose? And she'd scratch my nose, those kinds of things. And that was for 4 months before I ever got this arm loosened up. They had to do a surgery to take out the bone. They took out a golf ball size of bone out of this elbow. And it loosened it up. And praise God. You know what joy is? It's where you can take a French fry, dip it in ketchup, put it in your mouth with your own hand. That's joy. I'm telling you. I was happy about that. Little miracles that started happening. I stayed a short time there, a few weeks, in acute care, and they said, you know what? All the wounds, all the open scars that you have, they healed up. At one point, I'd asked the chief burn doctor, when do you think I'm going to be able to get out of the hospital? I mean, I just couldn't imagine how long I was going to have to stay in there. And she said, you know, at the rate you're going, we think we can get you out by Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving. They kicked me out of the hospital the middle of October. People were praying for me. I had a nurse say to me, said, you are healing in 2 to 3 days what it normally takes me 2 to 3 weeks to heal. My skin was just healing, and it was just miraculous what God was doing. I had my strength, praise God. My legs were strong. And Catherine worked with me as a personal trainer every day. She was making me work out in that bed, whether I wanted to or not. Here you go, lift your arm, lift your leg, and all that. And every day I was doing those exercises. And as soon as they could get me up to walk, I started walking. And then I started walking all over the hospital. Here was where some of the greatest joy came in my life. First of all, my arms were locked up. Guess what? You can't feed yourself. They would send nurses or nurses' aides in to help me feed myself. It was incredible. In the middle of October, I'm laying in the bed one day and I'm thinking, God, this is fun. Every meal, I get to share with someone about Jesus. Because they would send in someone, it was usually someone new, and I would get to talk with them, and I'd say, hey, I'm about to bless my food. Is there anything I could pray with you about? Wham! You're right over that spiritual line. You're able to talk with them about God things. And I would start talking with them about God things, asking them, by the way, do you have a church? Do you have a background that you know God? Let me tell you how good God's been in my life. I'd see those people week after week, and it was amazing the amount of people I got to talk to. They would not let me get up out of bed by myself and go on a walk. So guess what? I had a witnessing person I could just witness to, and they'd take me around, walk me around. And I was laying in the bed one day, and I was like, God, I know I'm supposed to be injured, but this is fun. This is incredible. They kicked me out of the hospital and gave me 2 weeks in rehab. Rehab was very interesting because I remember going down there and thinking to myself, as I watched people who were in wheelchairs that were spinal cord injuries, missing limbs, and all sorts of things. And I thought to myself, I'm not hurt compared to these people. I've got so much to praise God for. Even though it's going to be a new normal in my life and I've lost things, I felt absolutely blessed. November 2nd, we were discharged, thrown out of the rehab. They said, we're not keeping you in here any longer. You're doing great. Go home. We got you a bunch of exercises and things you need to do now. You know how to take care of the wounds. Now, here's the problem, though. My wife, who is the greatest angel that I've ever known, she became not only my wife, but she became the chief cook and bottle and wash cleaner. She became the nurse who had to do 3 hours of wound care on me because there were still things. All of a sudden, I had a problem with my head busting open with wounds. And she was having to do all the laundry. She was doing all these things for me. And my arms were still locked up, so she was feeding me, and she was taking care of me just like I was an infant. I've heard of many situations where spouses in a terrible accident like this would walk into the hospital room, lay their ring on the table and leave and never come back. I've read case after case where that's happened. My wife didn't run away. She ran towards me and embraced this. And I'm telling you, baby, I love you. Thank you. It has been incredible. We got out in November and had another surgery. November 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving, to release this arm, then went back in March 29th and released this arm. Now, this one was tight for 8 months, so it's not quite as loose as this arm yet, but it's getting there, and my grafts and everything are more confining on this arm. So I have to go back. We've just been doing those surgeries, and in October, I go back and they're going to work on my face. I said, can you give me a face like Tom Selleck? No. So, with a face like this, there's something. My pastor up in Anchorage said to me, he said, how are you handling this? I said, what do you mean? He goes, with the scars on your face, are you handling okay? I said, Brian, people have been overwhelmingly gracious. They have been overwhelmingly hospitable and helping me. I go on an airplane, I'm carrying a bag. Hey, sir, can I help you with that? flight attendants, Alaska Airlines. Praise God for Alaska Airlines. Oh, my goodness. Those guys have been so gracious to me. And so much I can tell you what they've done. But I told Brian, yeah, it's not really been a problem. I don't feel bad. Here's the thing. I don't have to look at it. You do, okay? Now, it is funny. Sometimes I walk in the bathroom in the morning and I walk in and I go, who is that guy? My wife told me the other day, I actually scared her coming around the corner one day. It did, kind of freaked her out. Who is that? So I don't have to look at it. It was the most amazing time, though. We've got a church, a sister church up in Boston. It's a Korean church. And they found out, same thing, Doug, that next day, and they started praying for me. And I mean, if you know Koreans, they pray. I mean, brothers and sisters, they are serious about prayer. And they prayed and they prayed. They came to visit, what, two times from Boston, sweetie? The guys from Paul Kim and his wife, they came and visited two times. I didn't know I was in ICU. And it was just amazing. This woman who's kind of the matriarch of this church up in Boston, and they have 13 churches around the world, and they had people all around the world praying for me. I actually heard about a group in Germany that they found out, and they stopped their meeting and prayed for me. I mean, it's just been amazing to hear how many people have prayed. But she told me one day, she came to our office, she flew into from Fairbanks with another lady, and she flew into our office, and we had a two-hour Holy Ghost meeting that was just amazing when she was talking about, you're a miracle, you're a miracle, we've been praying for you, Brother Jimmy. She looked at me and she said, Brother Jimmy, before the accident, you were so strong. Before the accident, you were so good-looking. She goes, but you're even more beautiful now with God shining through you. And I went, I'll take it. Amen. Folks, I don't know where you are, but I want you to know I did find joy and I found peace. Listen to this passage. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I had some pretty serious conversations with God at times and wondered, you know, what am I to do, God? What do you want me to take away from all this? But I found the joy through sharing my faith. I found the joy by letting God use this situation over and over. And like I said, with a face like this, people want to find out your story. And I get to glorify God. God says in Romans chapter 8, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the most fulfilling thing to know, that no matter what condition I'm in, I've got the love of Jesus in my life. If you don't know Christ, you won't know peace. You will not know peace in a situation like this. And our room was known, that hospital room was known as a place of peace. Nurses would come in and say, this is amazing. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, you won't know the power of God providing for you, because the body of Christ, God uses it to provide in incredible ways. And if you're not a disciple, you won't know the ability to endure despite the circumstances that you have. Doug, thank you for letting me share today. I don't know where you are in your life. I pray more than anything else that if you don't know Jesus, that today you come and surrender to Him. He is the God who loves you. He's the God who died on the cross for you. He's the God who served you in the most incredible way that anybody could. And He wants to have a personal relationship with you. I have this personal relationship with Him. And I know so many of you do. But if you're here and don't have Jesus in your life, He wants you to know Him in a personal way. Doug's going to come and lead us into an invitation. And Scott's going to... Ben is going to come. And he's going to lead us in some music. Thank you for allowing me to share. But more importantly, thank you for the many, many prayers. Every one of them are precious. And when someone says, would you please pray, stop, drop, and roll. No, I mean, stop, drop, and pray. Okay.